he doesn't belong to him. You can see him as though he colors the full forearm white. So it's like taking from one hand, putting to the second hand in his own forearm white. Now, once he carries four steps, that means he's taking it out of his private property into public property. Public or private, because when he walks four steps, to, again he's within forearm white. And he has transits from one private property to a second one, which is the same as going from private to public. Well, further, the Din says that there is such a thing as Tchum Shabbat. Tchum Shabbat means that 2,000 amot outside of a city is the maximum area distance that a person is allowed to walk on Shabbat. Nothing would carry. You're not allowed to walk outside of a city more than 2,000 amot. That's called Alpayim Amat Tchum Shabbat. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah.
It's called Tchum. Now, 2,000 amot, which is approximately a mile, let's say, this is the maximum you're allowed to walk outside of a city. The question is whether if you walk beyond that, you have broken a law with the Rabbanan or the Oraita. Majority agree that it's the Rabbanan. Makes no difference because it's still the law of the Rabbanan is the same as the Raita as far as we're concerned. It's a major law. Now, the chidush here is that when he walks 2,000 amot, 2,001 amot, he has not broken the law yet. Because he still has his four amot that he can go. It still belongs to him. Chidush is 2,004 amot, not 2,000. We always say 2,000 amot is Tchum Shabbat. Actually, there's four more amot that he can stay with. That's his property. When he walks outside of that, then he's broken it. When it turns out, now explains the whole secret why. Every Jew is called a chilek v'kamimal, a part of Hashem. Where does his neshama come from? Where does it come from? The neshama is spiritual. It's holy. Where does it come from? It is literally a part of the Shekhinah that's taken off, the Shekhinah, the spirit, and put into a person when he's born. But the Jew comes from the Shekhinah, his neshama. Now that means that the neshama is part of Hashem. The four amot, four measures, stand for the four letters of Hashem's name. One who is in the four amot, that person is still close to Hashem. If he walks outside of his four amot, he leaves that area on Shabbat, that means he's going away from Hashem, that's Avodah Zarah. Away from Hashem. Turning away from Hashem. Therefore, this is the secret why we say that Shabbat, Chilul Shabbat and Avodah Zarah are identical in sin. Mechalel Shabbat has the law of a goy, one of those worship idols. When we break Shabbat, gets the same penalty, Sekiva, just like one of the worship idols. There is this connection, because this is the four amot of Shabbat, are the four letters of Hashem's name. As long as you're still in these four amot, you're still close to Hashem. Leave the four amot, you have left Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, and the person is outside of.
So why do they say that if a person walks beating on and yet he's still hayyat something?
That's a gedder. The Rabbanan made a gedder, a fence to protect. It shouldn't happen. He should walk four amot. So they said, extra, the gedder is the old fence, additional isur to strengthen this law, protection against breaking the original law. They said, it's true you're allowed to walk less than four amot. You're allowed to carry less than four amot. The din says in case you find a treasure, you can carry it 3 amot. The stop. When you get to the amot, stop. That's a big treasure.
So when they say the hayat for amot, it's not really for amot. If you walk more than four amot, then you'd be hayat.
Outside of four amot.
So what do they mean, so why do they say?
Up to four amot. Well, four amot ad velo ad bachlar. We say till. There's a question earlier. When you say till, does that mean till including that or besides that?
When you say walk four amot and stop.
Three and stop.
The person carry on like this till
only in emergency cases.
For treasures, you say?
Yeah, it's an emergency case. Like if you find it if you go to the street.
From
the Shabbat, so? Yeah, but you, is for Tfilin you're allowed to. Right. So you guys, Tfilin is considered a garment.
12 bites.
In fact, the amendment in page 96 says that if it's considered a garment, if you find tefillin, it's not in question walking 3 steps. You can put it on and bring it into the house.
Shabbat.
A Shabbat.
Would it be
like that? Oh, Chas V'Shalom. You can't strike the tefillin. You're wearing it as a garment, not as a mitzvah. One who puts it as a mitzvah, Shabbat, is Hayav, is 39 lashes. He's breaking the law of Baal Tosef. But here's an interesting point. A person who finds tefillin on Shabbat, since it is considered a garment or a tachshit, an ornament that he could put on the tefillin, but bringing it, wear it into the house. Now what if he finds 2 pair of tefillin? Does he put on 1 pair, bring it in, or could he put on both pair at one time? Now, is 2 pair considered a garment, or we say that one of them is definitely an additional item? If it's additional, it's not a garment anymore, and it's carried. So the Gemara says that there's room on the person's head to wear 2 pair of tefillin at the same time. So therefore, since there's room enough for 2 pair of tefillin, you can have the 2 pair of tefillin worn at one time. So a person can wear 2 pairs. Let's say the question is, if he finds, let's say, 20 pairs of tefillin, how many trips does he have to make? If you find 20 pairs, you can make 10 trips and carry them in.
Do you make these a
panel? I said you can't, Adam.
You can't.
Somebody.
You have to wear a
Shabbat.
Yeah, even if you don't have room for 2...
Because then it's not a garment anymore. If you put it on elsewhere, it's not a garment. It's not an ornament. If you put it on two on your neck, that's carrying a Shabbat.
How about a person... A person goes home on Shabbat and he sits sitting on his porch and takes one of the candies. He puts 2 pieces of candy in his pocket and he eats and he forgets one square day and it's someone alive. When he takes off his coat, he goes to sleep, he gets up, puts on his coat, not thinking about the candy.
Why don't you ask the question briefly by saying Amir's outside, he suddenly feels his back and finds a piece of candy there.
Yeah, but while
I go to the story,
while he's walking,
he finds candy in his pocket.
Yeah, and now the question is if he stops or if he goes, there's the big question.
So why do you have to go to the story where he took his dog, ate the candy with it before?
What do you mean by stop? What do you mean by stop? Sitting or standing stopping?
Standing stopping.
For how long?
For a second. Yeah, the difference is
when you stop yourself, then you continue walking.
So
you drop it right there.
If you stop, you just drop it right there. If you're still walking, you didn't lose anything.
I can't see anything wrong, though.
Andrew, Smith, you got a question up here. Huh? Yes, you're not. It's an emergency, then you're allowed to move it 3 feet, stop, 3 feet, stop. Same thing. No, if it's not mutzah, then you can carry it. If it's mutzah money, you can't. It's mutzah. The diamond is not mutzah. Yeah, I said it with your foot, indeed. Now, let's get another law clear. If you listen, you might hear something here.
Actually,
I want to get the basis of his question, because without knowing the basic rule, on Shabbat, let's get this clear. We mentioned before, learn these two words, Doraita, Derabanan. Doraita means a law written in the Chumash, where if a person breaks that law on Shabbat, the penalty is death. Period. Derabanan means a law that the rabbis of the Gemara made. When we say rabbi, we even say, of course, Hashem made. We gave it to the laws of the Gemara. But it's called a rabbinical law, Rabbanan. A law of the Rabbanan. This law was made to serve as a fence, a protection around the law of the Torah, Torah, the Chumash. Now, the penalty for breaking that law is much less and breaking a law of the Raita. But it's more important is the difference that the law of the Rabbanan could be broken. By whom? By the Lebanese permission. Hapesha Asad, Hapesha Itir. The same mouth which said to you, this is forbidden, that mouth has the power to say it's permissible. So the Lebanese, who said forbidden, they have the power to say, in this case, we say permissible. For example. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to use lettuce. Right? Why? Is it deraita? Of course not. The Torah doesn't say you're not supposed to use medicine. Lebanon said you're not supposed to use medicine because we want to protect against breaking a law, the oraita of grinding. Grinding wheat, grinding herbs on Shabbat is breaking law, the oraita, penalty, death. Lebanon said that medicine could be made by grinding powder. So because you might, if we allow medication, you might grind. So all medication becomes forbidden, no matter what it is. Putting a concuss on your head, which doesn't require grinding anything, Lebanon said, asur, forbidden. All medication is out, so you'll never get to the point of grinding any herbs. Now, Lebanon said, we said it's asur. We also say, we have the power to say to you, if you feel sick enough to lie down in bed, and we give you permission to break that law of the Lebanon. In other words, we withdraw that law there. We made a law, we can withdraw it. So we can put stipulations on it, conditions when it's asur, when it is not. So that the law of the Lebanon is lighter because there is room for kula, for making it lighter. For example, too, the Lebanon said, we say that, let's say, the eighth day of Pesach, what kind of a law is that? Lebanon. Not to eat matzah. I mean, not to eat chametz on the eighth day of Pesach. You must eat matzah then. That's not a law of the Torah. Chumash is 7 days. This is a law of the Lebanon. In addition, on the eighth day of Pesach, you're not allowed to put on a light, you're not allowed to write, you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbat. That's a law of the Lebanon, because the eighth day itself is the Lebanon. And it's, so it's a weekday. The Lebanon said that since it's our law, in case of sickness, we allow you to break it. In case of, as a shalom person passes away, we allow you to dig. Digging is one of the 39 acts. Dig a grave, all that kind of work you're allowed to do. In case of sickness or in case of death, we withdraw this whole law. If the Pesach is like a weekday to you, this they have the power to do. Now, keeping that in mind, let's get on to the difference on Shabbat. Carry on Shabbat. Carry on Shabbat the law of the Oraita, which means the original basic law, which is a death penalty, requires two things before you break that law. One is called Akira, the other is called Halacha. Akira and Halacha, which means that first, there's an item lying on the table. In order to carry this item, you have to pick it up. That's the first thing. And then carry it 4 feet, or carry it outside, even 1 inch, from your house to the outside, even 1 inch is carrying. You haven't broken the law yet because you only picked it up and carried it. There's a second part of the house, we used to put it down. Right? So it requires two parts. Picking it up, means drawing it away from where it is now, bringing it to a second place, and depositing it, putting it down in this new place. Out of private property into public property. But we just explained that walking 4 feet in the street is the same penalty as carrying from the house to the street. That means that if you see a thing lying in the gutter, pick it up, you've done nothing yet. Walk 4 feet, 6 feet, you've done nothing yet. Put it down, then you've broken the law. You have to pick it up and you have to put it down afterwards. This is an oraita. After you carry it 4 feet, or after you brought it outside. Either going inside to outside or in the street, more than 4 feet, four or more. We use the words feet, but we don't want. So you have to have these 2 points in order to be willing to commit the sin of Shabbat, according to the oraita of the Torah. Now what if, let's say, a person picks up this item in the house Right. But he carries it outside. And he walks around the block. And he comes back into the house. And he puts it there. Does he get a death penalty for it? Zero. Nothing done. Because he picked it up here and put it back in the same place. He carried it outside. He walked all the way outside, but he never stopped to put it there. So therefore, there's no sin at all committed according to the Oraita. Now, the Rabbanan come along and say, we put a fence around this law. The fence is that if you make either one of the two, either Akira, pick it up, or put it down, you've broken the law of Shabbat, the Rabbanan. For example, it's the first page of the Yemen Shabbat, the first Mishnah, says, there's a man standing inside the house, it's a ground floor. There's a man standing outside of the house. Who would be inside? Who would be outside? The rich man is inside, the poor man is outside. The poor man asks for charity. The rich man says, here, I'll give you a loaf of bread. He takes a loaf of bread from the table, puts it outside, sticks it outside of the window, and puts it into the hand of the poor man. So he has take Akira, taken it from the house, and deposited it outside the street. He has done both, right? He has committed a sin. Now, it's possible for the poor man to do the same thing and receive a death penalty. The poor man, the rich man takes the bread and holds it in his hand. The poor man sticks his hand into the window, takes the bread from the rich man, takes it outside, puts it down, there he is. He gets a death penalty now. It's possible neither one gets a death penalty. For example, the rich man takes the bread, sticks his hand out of the window, holds it there, and the poor man takes it from him. So neither one did the whole work, because the rich man did only the work of taking it out here. He didn't deposit it in the street. The poor man deposited it in the street, but he didn't take it out of the inside. Each one did only half of the job. Both are free from the Isur de Raita, but both have committed Isur de Rabbanan, because each one has done one of the two things. Follow? You follow this?
Yeah. You put it outside the window, and when you see where he gets it that down, he's going to put it down, and when he hands it back to the window, he gets it that
down. In order to get a death penalty, what do you have to have?
Huh?
In order to get a death penalty, what do you have to have?
Well, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter, because
what do you need?
Say, you know what I'm doing?
But the Oraita, what do you need to do to get a death penalty?
You have to deposit it in a certain amount of the key. In other words, if you're walking around, keep that time, you bring it back.
In brief, just in one word, what do you want to get a death
letting penalty? It down and picking it up.
Standing. Both
yeah.
Picking it up and putting it down,
right.
Both of them.
Right.
Now, bananas, either one of the two is breaking Shabbat.
Right.
Now I'll actually get to the point. If you have this basic rule, now I'll get to the point. That to interpret the word picking up and putting down, this is the point. What's wrong with picking it up? You have to pick it up with both hands. You have to put it down with both hands with one hand. That's not what's about lecha. Lecha means, akila lecha means, let's say a person is standing in the street and somebody puts a dollar bill in his pocket. Or a handkerchief in his pocket. He's standing right there. Did he do anything wrong? Zero. So far, he didn't do anything wrong even according to Lebanon. There's a handkerchief in his pocket. He doesn't pick up the handkerchief. He just starts to walk. Immediately moves his foot. That means he has moved the handkerchief from its resting place. By moving one step, he has made the first half of the sin. Now, as he goes on, after four steps are over, when he stops, just by stopping alone, not by putting the handkerchief down anymore, just by stopping, the handkerchief came to rest. So he has done both parts of the sin. He didn't touch the handkerchief at all, any time, right? But by walking, starting to walk, and by stopping after four amot, he has committed both halves of the sin, and he gets the death penalty because he broke the law right there. Which means now your question, the person walks out of Shabbat. In the middle of the street, as he's walking, he touches his pocket and he feels there's money in it. Or somebody else.
Candy.
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 Handkerchief. Anything. He feels it in his pocket while he's walking. So the Rivera says, don't you dare stop.
Well, now I learned this for a while.
Don't, if you stop suddenly, you find that you stopped, you just broke the law of Shabbat.
What does he do right there?
If you're walking along, you find your pocket, you would keep walking. All day long, you're not breaking any law.
You're walking to shul, say, you're going to the shul.
Right. So, coming to shul, if you go into shul, that does it because in the street is nothing. There's no halacha. But if you go from the street to the shul with this in your pocket.
If you go from the house to the street to the shul.
You found it in the street. You didn't find it in the house. Out of the house was shogeg. It was unintentional.
Right.
Forget about that.
Right.
And now it becomes intentional. From here on in, it's with knowledge and intentional.
It's with knowledge, but if you learn the law, you're supposed to keep walking.
He's coming to that now. Finish it.
You wait.
Hey, baby. ABC.
From now, the minute he touches his pocket, there's no more shogeg. Now on, whatever he does is deliberate.
Right.
And now deliberately, he's got to be careful what he does because he can break the law down deliberately. He found it in his pocket, number one, don't stop. Because that kills it right away. So he keeps on walking. He gets to his house or to Kris. If he walks into the house, the minute he goes into the house, that's it. He has made the halacha, he's deposited. He can't walk into the house now with it. He's true, he walks in, he came on the death penalty because he's only making a halacha, the second half of the work, he'll be breaking the law of Rabbanan. So that he cannot do. That he cannot do. What could he do? It is called law of Kilachayad, which means one of two things. While walking in the street, don't stop, let it fall out of your pocket.
Push it out.
Let it fall out of your pocket. Push it somehow without using your hand.
Without using your hand? Without using your hand?
In an unnatural way. And not the regular normal manner. You put your hand in your pocket to take it out, that's the normal way. That's putting it down, that's breaking the Shabbat. You do it where it falls out. Your elbow, you stick your elbow inside the pocket and you get it out that way.
Sure.
Anything which is not normal.
Can you take off the jacket and take it out your back?
No, then you can't really jacket.
Good. Mm-hmm. Anything not normal is good.
No.
Now you take your jacket off, you carry it in the street. It's over your walking door.
So that's the only way now? Is to keep walking.
Hey, wait a minute, keep walking and while walking, drop it out of your pocket. While walking, not when you stop. If you stop, beautiful story, but it's too long. Let's finish our story first, then we'll come back to the story. Remind me. It shows you even somebody that commits a crime can bring out a good story. Wait until you hear the story, you tell me you plead the story.
Let me plead my case, then you can tell me. Meantime, if you walk in the street, you can push it out of your pocket.
While you are walking without stopping,
once you stop,
should you have stopped, then you can take it out of your pocket and put it on the floor.
Yeah.
But the crime has been committed already. Well, the minute you stop walking, you have made a hanacha. You have stopped, you have deposited this item. Even though you didn't touch it at all. In your pocket, you stopped walking, that made a hanacha.
So
therefore, under no condition should you stop. The biggest mistake is a person says, ooh, I have something in my pocket, and he stops. That stopping is the same as a person putting on a life vest and saying, ooh, I put it on, he puts it off right away. I should not have it.
So the question is, what do you do? A person, what does he do? Once he stopped, Danny, that's it.
Yeah, but you say you stop.
Once he stopped, the thing is done. And now he can't start walking again with it because then he breaks another law. So he's got to drop it out of his pocket when he stopped. He did the wrong thing, eventually.
No, how about if the person's going to shul? He feels it. See what he just said?
Funny story.
No, but you feel it.
And there's a red light, and you stop it for the red light, and you put your stuff there, and you keep walking, you walk in front of the red light, you get hit by the car, and you walk on the side, you walk in a circle.
You get to the corner, you walk up and back.
This is the natural reaction. Yeah, but the natural reaction is to stop once you feel, you know, it's your back, and you feel something in your pocket strange. Then what?
I once told you a story, you forget it.
Watch.
The watch. You forget it. Go watch. Go watch.
Why don't you say that?
You know, the first thing you notice is what? Is he careful first? Just know about...
I was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. It was Friday night. Look, I recall the story exactly. I recall it with picture the street as we were walking. Walking our father showed, and as he walked, he suddenly felt his pocket, his watch was there. Now, this was a watch he got in Europe, a gold watch, and everything he had in the world was in that gold watch. In other words, it's the only money he had to his name. And he looked at it, ooh. And I remember seeing the gold watch. I thought to myself, Shabbat, the gold watch, pass. How do you give up everything you own? He didn't think for a second. He walked, kept walking a few steps and pulled it to the gutter and just dropped it to the gutter.
So,
what are you show? What are you even talking about?
Oh,
the left shoulder. That's the nice answer.
You didn't drop, sir.
You're mixing a little more with this, though. I know what you're saying. Somebody else. It's very good. There were a lot of things he could have done. But the thing was, this showed that you're not your name. Also, law in the Beit Yosef, which the Beit Yosef did not include in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the word Beit Yosef, by the way, where does Beit Yosef come from? When you look at the Shulchan Aruch, that's not Beit Yosef. But the Shulchan Aruch is written by the author of the Beit Yosef. This is not called Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef is this author's writings on the Tur. The Tur was the son of the Rosh. The Rosh was the one of the Rishonim who lived in the time of the Rambam. So he wrote the first Shulchan Aruch. The Beit Yosef wrote a perush, explanation on the Tur, and afterwards he decided to make his own Shulchan Aruch. Instead of an explanation on the Shulchan, he wrote his own in a much more concise form. So in a concise form, he doesn't include all the laws that's found in the Beit Yosef, but he tells that a man adds certain laws that the Beit Yosef himself left out because he made it short. This is one of those laws. That's why I say, though this law is in the Ramah, it's a law for the Tzadik and Tumi, because the Beit Yosef says this. The law of Muktzah. Muktzah, we take a granted means there are certain things you cannot touch on Shabbat, like a dollar bill, a coin. It's Muktzah, a pen. You can't touch on Shabbat. The law says that the Chiddush, the law of Muktzah does not mean mistaken to say it means you can't touch money, you can't touch a pen, you can't touch tools. That's not true. You're allowed to touch them on Shabbat. There's no law saying you can't. You're allowed to touch. Muktzeh means a suit to tool. You're not allowed to move it. You can't move the Muktzeh. Well, this would mean, according to this, it would seem to appear to us that you're allowed to touch anything. You're allowed to touch a car, you're allowed to touch a tree, you're allowed to touch a tree. You can't move a tree. A car you can move. It's a, you can't, you're allowed to touch a car, but you can't, if you, you can, the springs of the car could make the car move. Now even 1 inch, if you press down on the car, the springs will have it move. And that is Muktzeh. Up and down, side, anything. Moving it 1 inch in any direction, even a fraction of an inch, is moving. So to put your hand in the car without moving it is permissible. It's not Muktzeh in the sense where you can't touch it. You could. You can't move it. A tree is the Chiddush, for one thing. A tree on Shabbat. Now this is a very important law to spread, to save people from committing a sin of this. A good, solid oak tree You try and move it. Bang your head against it. You can't budge that tree 1/1000th of an inch, right? So you would say, since this tree cannot be moved, fine. You can touch it. What would you say? You can push it. A car you can't push, but a tree you could push. How about not pushing it? How about just leaning against it? This is Chalal Shabbat. It is forbidden for a person to lean against the tree on Shabbat.
Sure, walking against hedges.
No, don't mix these things. Don't add your own opinions. You have to know the basis of the law. A tree is forbidden to lean against on Shabbat. Now, many times you walk in the woods on Shabbat, walk in the forest,